Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Balancing Program Show with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Jewel Pogram, MD. Join Dr. Jewel each Monday at 5 p.m.
Well, greetings, everyone. How are you? And welcome to the Dr. Jewel Balancing Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this show is being brought to you by the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, broadcasting the sciences of life and living on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm just so glad to be back with you again. We're all excited here because, you know, we're preparing for our advanced discipline workshop. And for the last 3 years or so, the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program has offered the advanced discipline workshop. Well, why do we do that? Well, the reason why we do that is because once individuals have balanced their brain and have locked the frequency of the corpus callosum, which is the main two trunks that delivers chemical and electromagnetic information to both hemispheres of the brain, now simultaneously and in a balanced quotient, because they are balanced and locked, they now have to go into the next phase of neurologic development, which is training and learning particular techniques and disciplines, and most of all, information on how to manage and best use a balanced brain. I think this is one thing that society hasn't recommended, or should I say recognized yet, and that is that their brain is underdeveloped, one. Two, that when you do completely develop it, which most people have not, now how do we use it? Because it's just like anything else. You have to relearn. You must relearn. That's very important. You know, it's very interesting. It's like I see individuals, and there's one particular person I think is so amazing. This individual was stricken with polio very early in life, and so, you know, they have the typical brace on the leg with the opposite support cane, et cetera. And this person, I watched them. They are avid exercisers, so they do cycling and they do exercise dancing and just a lot of other things, but they keep the brace on and the cane. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. You know, and I said, now if something happened and, you know, this brace would just basically just bust off her leg, like what happened in the movie, and if you remember the movie Forrest Gump, this lady would have to learn how to reuse her brain again, because she has learned how to do everything in her life with a metal brace on her leg, a special shoe on her foot, and a cane. And even though it's quite obvious to us as observers that, you know, if she can cycle on a bike and that if she has enough balance where she literally can do jazzercise classes, et cetera, that this brace and this shoe is literally a fixation in her mind. It really is not anything that the body needs. But if the brace had to be removed immediately, this lady would have to learn all over again how to walk without the actual brace and without the actual cane, because the brain has conformed to this type of support. So believe it or not, I mean, when you look at her leg, you can see that the muscle group in the calf of her leg, et cetera, is not as well developed as the, quote, healthy leg, et cetera, but it could be. But the reason why it's not is not literally because of the disorder or the disease she had when she was young, but it was literally because in her mind she still has this limitation. And so, therefore, the actual blood supply that would go to these muscles and tendons, et cetera, has been diminished by the reprogramming of her brain because she still is using the limb. She twirls around on it and everything, but it is still smaller than the contralateral limb because of the fact that the brain automatically, because she has perceived herself in a limited way on that side, has diverted the blood supply. So therefore, yes, those muscles would definitely have to get have support. She'd have to then reprogram the brain to shunt more blood to those areas so that the muscles could now have more nourishment so they can begin to hypertrophy, enlarge, et cetera, so that they could begin to bear their own weight without the support. But it's clearly that this is all psychological, and even though she does everything, still and all, with just removing that small attachment to her limb, she would still have to totally learn how to do many things all over again. So I want you to understand that clear analogy that I'm saying to you, is that all of you who have not endeavored to expand the brain, to activate more neurons, it just may seem like you're just okay and everything's just fine, just like I am, etc. You have no idea. And the reason why you have no idea is because you've never crossed over the bridge in your own brain to observe yourself from the other side of the hemisphere of your brain to see yourself. So if you've never looked in a mirror before and, you know, you're just going by what people tell you or et cetera, what you can feel, you really still don't know how you look because you never, ever have allowed yourself to have an actual reflection of what and who you really are. And that's what happens when you literally balance your brain, when you really bring in full capability of the opposite hemisphere where they're working as one. Your perception of self is totally different. Everything shifts. And so with that said, we're going to talk more about how that looks so that you can get a better idea. And for those of you who have done this basic work, you can get more information about what is being asked of you to adjust to live in a society that doesn't have a balanced brain. So, as usual, you've got to become VAC. So that means you are visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. So, therefore, you're listening to me. You have your pad and your pencil because you're going to be looking at what you're writing, and obviously you'll be feeling what you're writing. So that takes care of that criteria. Visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. You want to always be VAC. It makes it so much easier to learn everything so much more rapidly and thoroughly. So you don't have to go back over and over and over and over again. Got to have the water, some statistics. And this is our goal always. And I want you to pay attention to this. Where can you just call in every week and learn something about your brain? I mean, genuinely learn something about your brain. You're not getting it in your office environment. You're not getting it in your social environment. You're not acquiring this in perhaps your religious environment, et cetera. But that brain is so critical because without it, the body's not going to do very much of anything, not that you'll know about. So as an organ as important as this, why would you not be able to walk around and get all kind of information about this at will and ad libitum? Well, guess what? That's what a society that primarily is run by imbalanced brains do. They do not basically see the bigger picture, and so therefore they create what they are actually able to realize. So this is a very important strategic resource for you that you can come here every week, regardless of whether you're balancing on our program or not. and learn about this most important organ that you must rely on for the rest of your life. So I'm emphasizing that you will have specific stats every week when you turn to the show, because I love the theory. I love the theoretical. I love all of the sciences, et cetera. So I may be talking about things that if you aren't really balancing or have a balanced brain, they may not seem important, or the brain just may not be able to process it. It's okay. I'm still here for you. So therefore, write the stats down. We're going to go and listen to our sponsor, and then we're going to come back and talk about how do you live in a society where there are very few people with balanced brains. And you're going to love it. Okay, stats. One. Okay, so interesting about your brain. Just remember, 30% of your entire blood volume is always in your brain. 30%. I want you to write that down. Now, that's very strategic. And many of you mothers, I want you to pay attention to that. Because when the weather is extremely hot or extremely cold, you must protect the head. So I see the children out in the wintertime, no hats on, nothing to protect their ears. And I'm like, okay, we've got to bring mom up to snuff. Or if this is a child whose mother was very conscientious, but they just, okay, they're very busy being a child, was not educated at home about why you must keep up with your hat. And you must tell the child. I loved taking care of children when I was in practice, because I could always get whatever I wanted to out of the children. The adults, that was a different story. They came with a lot of, how could I say, overlay. But the children, give them the information. And remember, every child is an adult in development. Every child is an adult in development. And so, therefore, you can actually talk to that adult even though the little body is 5 years old. So you can say to the baby, you know, your brain is so important. You're going to need it all your life. This is what makes you such a great person, et cetera. And we have to learn how to take care of our brain. So one of the things that's very important is that when it's very hot outside, I'm going to always send you out with a hat. It's going to have a bib on it, because we want to make sure that you don't get too much intense sunlight in your eyes directly. And it also is going to help keep your head cool, because 30% of your blood is in your brain. And you just tell them that once, maximum twice. They will make sure that they have their hat on all the time, because they recognize, wow, if I want to be the doctor or the nurse, or I want to be the singer, or I want to be this, I got to have my brain, and I got to make sure that it's not fried. You tell them that in the wintertime. Honey, the blood has to stay warm when it goes into the head. And so, therefore, you've got to keep your cap on when you're outside. So this is your special knit hat. What do you like? Let's get the one you like. And you have to keep up with this. This is to make sure that your brain cells don't freeze, that they don't get chilled, because they don't like that at all. You tell the child that, they may not have the coat on, but they're going to have the hat. So it's very important that when you understand the growth process of the brain and how this brain responds to data and information, how the brain responds to touch, how the brain responds to such melodious thoughts that are expressed through the vocal cords in such an embracing way. The brain hooks onto that right away, and it's never forgotten. It's amazing. You know, my engineer and I, we were sitting here earlier, and we were talking about when we were in kindergarten. Okay, now he's, you know, still relatively what we call still in his infancy. Okay, I'm definitely way up into adulthood. Okay, now let me just give you the criteria so you can put that in the proper perspective. We don't want the neurons to go searching, trying to figure out what did she mean. Adulthood starts at age 54, ends at age 81. That's correct. That's adulthood. So 28 years old up until age 54 is adolescence. How about that? And from age 9 up until age 28, completion of childhood. Amazing. Yeah. So when you understand that and you recognize how the brain matures in this environment that we've created, we see why now so many of our members of our society from 9 until age 28 create a lot of problems for themselves, because it's been assumed that because the body seems like it's mature, that this is an adult nervous system operating this body. It is not. All children up until age 28 years old need intense supervision. And when they do not get that, we have societal problems. And this is what you're seeing. Look at the amount of crimes that actually are performed in this age group. The amount of suicides, the amount of lethal accidents that happen. Major population before age 28. And this is because they were only infants. They weren't at all, they were in their childhood, excuse me. They were not at all even adolescents. So it's very interesting when we start looking at how different cultures understood the unfoldment of the nervous system and basically chronicalized the ages and the age groups of their population based on neurologic development, not on the body's development, but on neurologic development. And then that's when they were allowed to have specific rights and given specific positions in the culture, because they were looking at the age of the development of the brain. Very, very interesting. So 30% of the volume is always in the head. So in extreme weather, we want to basically honor that. Keep it cool when it's very hot. Keep it definitely warm when it's very cold. Secondly, the brain is on the average 2% of the body weight. Okay, it's always 2% of the body weight. So when we have individuals who are extremely obese or extremely svelte, extremely thin, they are really incurring significant damage to the nervous system, not recognizing that they are either diminishing that total body weight or they are enlarging it to a dangerous degree. Must pay attention to that. Brain is definitely primarily fat and liquid. Yeah, so having a fat head, when people talk about you have a fat head, you want to have a fat head. Okay, the brain primarily is fat and water. 70% water, 22% fat. So this whole kick that people are getting going on about low-fat diets, do the research. There's something known as vitamin F. And vitamin F literally are all the primary fatty acids that build the actual fats. So don't let people get you all twisted around about polyunsaturated and saturated fats and that kind of look. That is a lot of misinformation that has been projected through advertisement. You must go beyond that gibberish and understand what are the fatty acids that you need and where do they come from. Because if you're not getting special linoleic acid, you're going to have some serious health problems on many levels, including neurologically. So do the research on vitamin F, of course, as usual. You can find that in my book, Vitamins and Minerals from A to Z, the new edition, be out anytime. So watch the new website. We're so excited about that. Yay! That'll be available. We talk about the vitamin F. That's very important. Fatty acids, definitely for the brain. Okay. I think it's really cute, too, because everything is symmetrical in the body, and the buttocks always balances out the right and the left hemisphere of the brain. How about that? So I was hearing something that was really strange in my spin class. They have a record out, and it says he was trying to say that he liked the woman who was smart but had a dumb butt. And I was like, what? So I asked my daughter, because that music is from, you know, their peer group. I asked my daughter, well, what did that mean? Why does he want somebody that's smart but has a dumb butt? What is he saying? And so she explained it to me, as I understand it, that he wanted someone who was real intelligent intellectually, but he wanted her to have an oversized proportioned behind. And the phrase is that because the behind seems to be so much bigger than the rest of the body, it's kind of dumb. You know, that a person would have this, you know, enlarged, overwhelming behind. So they just call it a dumb butt. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. But I thought it was ironic that I'm sure that he didn't know what I knew, is that people who really have an intense amount of neurons that are literally communicating have a propensity to usually have well-proportioned fat stores on the buttocks. Now, it's very interesting about the buttocks. I'll just give you this as an anatomist. You know, I don't know if people really understood that in my past I was a surgeon and an anatomist and, yes, a real doctor. Okay, so done a lot of things here. And anatomy I loved. And I tell you, the buttocks is flat. It's amazing. It really is when you have hardly any fat deposits on the butt. No fat cushions. It is literally fat. It's like sheets, just sheets of muscle. And for those of you who literally lift weights, you go to these bodybuilding championships, it's very clear that many of them who have really just totally developed these just super muscle bundles, as we call them, they're buttocks. You can literally see all three groups of the gluteus, G-L-E-T-U-S, G-L-E-T-U-S, gluteus. The gluteus muscles, minimum, medius, and maximum. Okay, so you have the maximum, the big one, the medium, and then you have the small one, the minimum. And they all lay together like a sling, but they're flat. They're thick, flat sheets of muscle. So when they're, you know, contracting their buttocks, et cetera, you can see the striations of these three muscle groups because they have like 4% body fats. There's no fat cushion back there. So when the butt, the buttocks, the gluteus muscles take on this very round, voluptuous, horse-like or equine-type formation of behind, that is because of fat. The fat literally is there padding those nerves, the sciatic nerve that actually runs right behind that those three groups of muscles. And so, therefore, if a person leaned their head back, and you took a picture of them from the back, and if the skull could be lifted, and you took a picture of them, their right and left hemisphere of the brain looks exactly like the right and the left buttock cheek. Looks the same thing. That's why they talk about the fact that they balance. Obviously, the right and left buttock cheek is bigger than the right and the left hemisphere of the brain, but the shape and contour are exactly the same when you have these really nice contoured fat pads over the gluteus. So innately, the gluteus muscle is fat, is flat. So when you see people who have basically a flat behind, it's because they don't have the propensity to have a fat pad there. And it's hard on the sciatic nerve because they have nothing to protect that nerve at all when they sit on it, or if anything comes to the lower back, it can be easily traumatized. And so that fat pad is very important, and also to we find that it balances the right and left hemisphere of the brain, and also it's very attractive. So now you know the value of having a dumb butt. How about that? That's funny. You know that 20%, the the blood volume, 20% of the brain is fat, 70% water, 30% of all the blood supply is in the brain at any particular time. So I know you got those notes, fine. Next week you'll get more data, but where are you going to get this information? Just by being able to relax and kick back. Visit us, the Jewel Network, always at your disposal, broadcasting the sciences of life and living. We'll be back, and let's talk about the social life for individuals who have a balanced brain. Be back after this message.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program. Many participants feel effects from day one, and in no time you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's Balancing Program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net.
You're listening to The Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, on the web at www.thejewelnetwork.net.
Well, greetings, everyone, and if you just tuned in, well, welcome. I do recommend that you listen to this program in the archives. Because we are dropping pearls that I want you to be able to walk around with for the rest of your life on how to take care of that fabulous, fabulous organ that sits inside of your head known as the brain. Oh, yeah, it's very interesting. We've been talking about some stats on the brain. I talked about earlier that the brain is composed of approximately 20% fat, 70% water, but that 20%, as I word this, should I say the number is 20, come up again because the skull is literally composed of just a little over 20 major bones. So 20 major bones form your skull. That is literally the house or the calvarium for the brain. And the brain is 20% fat. Pay attention to that. If you don't have the right balance of fatty acids, you're going to have neurologic problems. So please do not get an attitude about fat. You need fat, especially the proper fatty acids, so that the literal anatomy of the neurons can be maintained. They need some special fatty acids here, and most people are depriving themselves of those fatty acids because they are eating severely restricted diets that do not contain an adequate balance of fatty acids. Do the research. You know, so maybe next week I'll give you some little tips on if you don't have time to do the research, which, of course, we're going to change that habit. That would be a habit of a person who doesn't have a balanced brain. But in the meantime, I'm going to tell you some things that you should put in your diet. So until you get the brain balanced and do the research, this way you can keep the neurons relatively healthy until you can finish the process of balancing and locking the neurons of the brain. Okay, so are we coming up for a break here, my dear engineer, for our Diamond Light update and energetics on what's happening on planet Earth? Is that coming up soon? Okay, well, in the meantime here, I want to talk about and just get you ready because as soon as Julie finishes, we're going to talk about the social implications of what it's like to have a balanced brain. I can tell you this, it's been an interesting learning experience. I've been on this program since 1986, and I was able to balance the interaction electromagnetically and chemically of the neurons of my brain in approximately 9 months. And from there, I just decided I wanted to continue the program. They had, at that time, an advanced program. And that got to be very interesting because, of course, these individuals were not scientists. They were not physicians. They were not neurophysiologists, biologists, cellular biologists. They were none of those things, but they were just really good and loving people that knew that people functioned better, they aged less, and they were definitely, one of the things that was most important, less prone to be violent in their reaction to resist change. That's what they liked, and they call that literally spiritual development. So coming from a scientific background, they were just really excited about that, and, you know, I gave them as much information as I could about what I experienced, but they didn't have a lot for me from a scientific perspective. And so I found that within my own personal beingness, great things were happening, but I recognized that the world around me looked really different. And the decisions that they made were like, strange. And I was like, this is really interesting. Okay, and these were things that people had been doing all the time, and I finally had to figure it out that it wasn't them, it was me. The neurons had recircuited themselves, and what does that mean? But in the meantime, just hang in there because we've got to get our energetic update. And so, hi, Julie, how are you?
Dr. Jewel, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am just excited because, as you know, we're doing this workshop, and it has been really an experience to grow these neurons, to wrap them around 350 million years of history. And I'm like, so proud of them, I don't know what to do. I'm like, you go, neurons.
Yeah, that's going to be absolutely fascinating.
I'll say, interesting.
Yeah. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful workshop. And, you know, sort of for those that are listening that are going to be there, I'm sure it is going to be a fascinating experience.
Well, I tell you, these neurons have been bumped up a couple of notches, and I've been able to magnetize to me some wonderful people who have bumped up neurons, and we've been playing ping pong with this data and information. And I tell you, I'm just so... I'm just speechless. I just have to just admit, I'm just outright speechless at how many things I thought were are not. Now, did that make sense to you? I'm just telling you that with the new breakdown and what was literally going on, and then we removed this layer and we turned that layer inside out, nothing was like we thought it was. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. But instead of being, you know, so fearful and, you know, having any kind of resentments or anger, I'm just amazed.
I think that's the exciting thing at the moment is that, you know, sort of letting go of and having moved through fear to be able to accept the enormity and the magnitude of some of the information that's actually coming our way, because I've been doing some incredible research and reading about the grids of the gods, ancient cosmic warfares, and, you know, sort of some amazing information that I haven't come across before either, that I'm now open and ready and able to receive and understand it at a different level.
Isn't it wonderful? And that's what I'm saying is that, you know, I think that if somebody tried to drop all this on me, you know, even 10 years ago, et cetera, you know, it would have been quite an emotional, uncomfortable thing. But I just feel really just blessed and most of all free that it's like, okay, I'm getting down to the real, real core of this, and to recognize that most of this was just, as they would say, a bunch of malarkey, I was like, oh, good, that's really nice. We can just kick all that to the curb.
Yeah.
And just move forward. I'm like, wow, I feel so much lighter. And that's what I'm envisioning that this is going to do. Is to help individuals who have really built up a whole reality and perception about life and, you know, thinking that it's really so heavy and just a lot of other things. It is not. But the key here is that, you know, what I've observed is that that emotional immaturity, that inability to have a balanced emotional body with intellect has really been our greatest weapon of self-undoing.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. So it just, again, has shown that to generate and to recreate a culture that demands that the right and left hemisphere of the brain and that our bodies are balanced is very important. And we've lost that for, you know, for millions of years. And so not
yes.
until we can refocus and recognize that, you know, until we can balance these bodies, which requires a balanced computer system, the brain, et cetera, we're going to always do very imbalanced things and hurt ourselves, and that's what's happening. So give us the energetics. What's happening, Judy?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting at the moment because, again, you've got the solar scientists watching, you know, what's going on and trying to predict what the sun's going to do, and they just don't seem to be able to get it right because, you know, the Earth at the moment, the sun's been pretty quiet. There haven't been any major sort of eruptions or coronal mass ejections in the last week. But the Earth has been in the path of a solar wind stream, which has been consistent and buffeting the Earth field. But, you know, sort of the mainstream scientific view of the interaction with the solar wind stream has actually been that it's not geo-effective. So it wouldn't be impacting on the magnetosphere. And then they find that it actually was and is. So while there's no major activity on the sun, you know, it behooves us to pay attention to what's going on, because even something as relatively innocuous as a solar wind stream, which happens all the time, is actually causing magnetosphere disturbance, where in times past it wouldn't have done, because the Earth's magnetic sheath in the field was actually stronger. You know, and we've got these portals that open up between the sun and the Earth, which provides that conduit for charged particles, which I've mentioned before. But so it is really interesting that we are being impacted, even though there's no major activity. So while there's a lot of people who are talking about the sun, and now they're talking about CMEs, and they're starting to become very, very aware of the impact of the CMEs and the obvious solar activity on human emotional, mental capacity and ability and their general level of balance, there are other factors which are not being taken into account. So we have got a geomagnetic field at the moment. There are auroras at the poles, so we have actually been seeing that, not down at the low latitudes, but it certainly is geo-effective. And I don't know if you guys have seen, but yesterday as well we had a swarm of earthquakes in Southern California.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact,
you haven't seen
that. Oh, okay, no. And it's so interesting, since you brought that up, I want to say two things. One is for me to really absorb and move into a dissecting and awareness of all of this information that I'm processing, I definitely had to tune out the local frequencies. And
yeah.
So that's very interesting. So, you know, no radio, no TV, because we literally had to go into what I call the new sphere, into the past, to be the observer to look at this without bringing any overlay of any events of the moment. Now, does that make sense? It's like, you know, I had to see the
present
to commit 100% to the past to understand it.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? I was like, wow, that's like really different. But we had to leave the present, go to the past, and stand there and look at all this stuff and analyze it, not bringing any of the present or the future, so that once we got back to the present, now we could literally add that to the picture. It's amazing. So I hope everyone,
yeah,
you understand that. But, you know, Julie has a balanced brain too, so she understands that she crossed the bridge in her own brain that I'm talking about. That's
But, you know, Dr. Jewel, it is interesting, and I absolutely understand what you're saying, and it's something that I've been observing with a couple of the clients that I've been working with, not with the Diamond Light Grid alignments, but with the body work that I've been doing just in the past week to 10 days, because it's almost as if something very, very similar has been happening with the clients, is that we've been taken out of this particular reality matrix, out of this frequency zone, into another zone while we've been working. You know, and the clients have been seeing grids, and we've been experiencing ourselves as the galaxy, if you like, represented by the physical form. So it is, and they're very unusual sessions, because these kind of, the depth of this happening has not been experienced by clients in this particular bodywork process before. So things are absolutely shifting and changing with the grids and the matrix of this reality that's almost making it slightly easier for us to take ourselves into that space in order to be able to understand and experience ourselves at a different level.
Well, but I think that, you know, you have to take your proper place in all this and recognize that you are literally the conduit and the bridge that is allowing them to actually see this depth of themselves. Because if you were not able to really tap into that realm in consciousness, there's no way that the client was going to see it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm saying you cross the bridge in your own brain, which now you can help others, and that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah. Well, it is fascinating to experience that now, you know, and I think you know, all of the others out there as well who are sort of balanced and what have you should really be more aware of those shifts and changes and their discernment in terms of how they are responding energetically and aware of things energetically. It really is a fascinating time right now.
Well, I think that one of the things too, Julie, that has also made your experience and also your awareness of what has happened in you so vivid is because of the environment that you are continuously saturating yourself in. So constantly monitoring the energies, constantly being aware of what's happening in our solar system, continuously studying the effects of that not only on Earth but also on the energetics of Earth through the grids, obviously also reporting and relaying that information to your own grids is automatically going to allow the information from our galaxy to also be laid down in you. And so anybody that's going to be coming into your space, and especially if you're going to be tactile with them, is going to be able to get the readout.
Yeah.
That's exactly, that's what it is. So I think that it's just wonderful that you've allowed your nervous system to take the quantum leap in its own growth and development so that you can really now confirm in your own being and that the people that are able to be tactile with you, that they can now know for themselves that the things that you have talked about, that the charts that they see where the grids are laid out, et cetera, are realities. These are not just people that are just, you know, trying to keep things in proper spatial arrangement. Because a lot of people just think that's what a grid is for, just to keep us, keep, you know, make the line straight and just keep everything.
Yeah, I know.
They don't understand that. No. These are energetic relationships, et cetera. And so for you to be able to allow people to have that experience that they have to really look at things very differently is just such a great honor on your part to have rebuilt yourself to do that, but also, too, they should be extremely appreciative for being able to have that level of knowledge when they've had to do such little work. You had to do most of the work. All I had to do was lay there, sit there, whatever, and was able to get a peek. Oh, no. And this is what I'm saying. This is how it's flipping now because we've taken so much for granted. And this is what I've observed looking at history here. For millions of years, we've taken so much for granted. And now since we've destroyed and altered significantly so many different things that we're actually on a precipice of deciding whether we're going to be extinct or not, you know, most people are still not getting it.
What
we've neglected. And so these are, this is very, very important to acknowledge and to recognize that there's nothing, absolutely nothing greater than ourselves. And everything has to be put back in its proper perspective or they're going to find themselves without a physical body. And, you know, when I think about that, you know, people, you cross the street and the cars have the nerve to honk at you. And I'm like, you really have missed this, okay? That, you know, human being is the most important thing here. And that's why you have a break, okay? And so if you're confused about thinking that the machines have the right of way, then as far as I'm concerned, if my brothers, you would have to basically take another test to get your license, and we'd have to make sure that you understand that I don't care what kind of car you drive, and I don't care how much you pay for it. It is never superior to a human life. Don't even think about it.
What's really interesting is bearing in mind what you've just said, is the whole drive at the moment in the mainstream media to place that value on the machine so that the perception is built within people's minds. So it's this whole movement towards transhumanism and artificial intelligence, which
exactly.
is being pumped through the media in different ways.
Right. Well, like I said, you know, there's a they've already got more arms and legs and eyeballs and lungs and kidneys, et cetera, waiting in the stock room.
Yeah.
And so if you've looked at the history of how things have been marketed and what's been pushed for humanity to consume, this is just another avenue of merchandise that is being made available because people are not paying attention to what is really of value, nor are they really asking themselves, how do I redefine or define myself so that they can actually realign their value? And so therefore, it's hard to do that when bombs are blowing up around you and there's no jobs and all these other things. So it's been really interesting to look at all of the circumstances that have been set into place that unless an individual just decides to just shut down and go within, they definitely are going to lose the greatest thing that they have, is that this body and its natural totality or their life specifically, if they don't go within. And all of the incredible minds that I am reviewing their work, et cetera, have all warned. This is the greatest warning that if you really want to understand the universe, you want to understand the galaxies, you must go within.
Within. Absolutely.
You have to go within.
Absolutely. The greatest masters, that teaching stands, I think, no matter which way around you want to turn it, you absolutely rise.
Yeah, you have to go within. And so this
information.
Oh, and that's one more thing I wanted to say, too, that, you know, now since you have this incredible brain, this is very, very important, and I really want you to pay attention to these reports that you're giving, because the inability of these scientists to appropriate the information that they are releasing through a balanced perspective is also something we have to be very much on the alert of. And so your capacity, you have the capacity to offer this most balanced interpretation of what is really happening with these energies. And I really want to support you in allowing your brain, because it does have this capacity to integrate that data and also give the intuitive component to it so that people will genuinely know how to react with the energies that are being observed. So therefore, this windstream that the database collective cannot interpret, you have the capacity to understand what that is, because that requires right brain, intuitive analysis, okay, because we don't have the instrumentation that is only created by a left brain orientation to measure that kind of effect. But you can do it because you have the information, and because the instrument to literally evaluate that is your brain. So you already have the instrument, which is your brain. It's the right hemisphere. So if you can just be the observer and allow that information to just be processed, you will be amazed at what is going to come out through your fingertips and your pen so that it will be in the proper balance for us to take action on. See, this is what we have also abandoned, is that there's no instrument that we can ever create that's greater than ourselves. And so therefore, if our instrumentation appears to have a limitation, it's only because that level of your beingness has not been explored and has not been mastered where it can be externalized But that doesn't mean that you can't know the answer. It just means that where the limitation or the instrumentation is seen, then you just have to process it through its template, which was you.
Mm.
It doesn't diminish its legitimacy that is coming from you. That should even more legitimize it because you've done the work that you're balanced, as opposed to all these other people who, again, you know, they come to an empty spot on the wall and shrug their shoulders because they don't recognize that that blank wall is because there's no further development of the brain or that the information lies in an area of the brain that they are not able to access. You don't have that problem anymore. So please help us by giving us the other half of the information so that we can get the 360-degree information we need. You have to remember
my sense of what is actually happening with these wind streams, because it is, it's a gentle buffeting, and what is actually happening energetically is almost this gentle unfolding. In fact, it is impacting on right brain activity and creativity.
Right.
That is where it is at the moment. So it is an unfolding of creative potential.
Well, like I said, I knew that you would be able to know that, and the reason why I think that it's so important because these are the times. This is the quiet before the storm.
Yep.
And if people have the intention of really being able to get through these next 5 years and make this an enjoyable experience, which it was really supposed to be created to be if you did the work, okay,
mm-hmm.
you've got to be creating right now.
Yes.
Okay, and so therefore, you know, this is the rev up energy to get that area of the brain very creative, see how you want these next years to go, put out the plan, implement the plan, and have a great time.
Yeah.
So that is what I see. This is the energy for preparation, for us to prepare for the events that are to occur. And so, you know, definitely not to ignore this opportunity. So I really appreciate your balancing, that you are able to give us the wholesome interpretation of this information so that we can all get through it.
And, I think that's it. It's being aware that there's in the creative process, there's a balance between the focus and the vision of what it is that we want to achieve and the means by which that becomes achievable, because that's where the creative process and the creative element actually comes in. And that is, you know, there's a huge element and aspect of allowing. So it's almost a case of tuning in to the energies that are around at the moment, which are a gentle flow, and allowing that to flow through and actually open up those potentials and possibilities. So there's a huge element and aspect of allowing that goes with the energies at the moment.
Well, I agree, and the key word here is I will, okay? Because if you basically want to know, you must will it to be so, and, you know, I'm going to talk more about that this weekend, but one of the things that we found so incredible is this phenomenon known as a frequency sense. And so when I begin to recognize that, you know, my journey into the past was really taking a slow road here, as long as I was allowing the local frequencies to permeate my space, was because of the aberrant frequencies that are now also being broadcasted over the planet and through the Earth grid.
Yep.
And for those individuals who are not aware of that, and that's not necessarily to say you have to be aware, but you have to then insert your caveat as to what you want to experience, which then automatically will take you above the frequency fence.
Connect you to a different grid, yes.
Exactly. And if you're not looking anything different, you're just trying to keep up and, you know, scuffle along with what's going on, whew, boy, is that havoc.
Yeah, then you're stuck within the frequency net. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Right. And so, therefore, I was like, okay, well, this is really interesting. And like I said, you know, I had to basically do the past, and in doing so, it's like, okay, you have to definitely not take anything with you. You have to be the observer. And the first thing I recognize is that, okay, frequency fence definitely cannot have an effect here. And just by willing that it can't have an effect, you will also shut it down. But the key here is that most people don't even know that they have to deal with that every moment of their conscious awareness.
Yeah. Do you know, Dr. Jewell, it's also interesting, I must just say, because it was last year, this was probably at least, it would have been 12 to 18 months ago, that one of the phrases that I was given, and I could see it was one of those visions, you know, sort of connected with activity of sun and with the whole diamond light grid. And the phrase and the words that came to me were that the diamond light grid actually supports breaking down the firewall of this frequency fence that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fascinating to almost see this grid inserting itself into the current matrix. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I say as well, and you mentioned this word bridging earlier, is that the diamond light grid supports us in building that bridge as well, to be able to move beyond the frequency fence. And I think that's where having the balanced brain as well as working with the diamond light grid, we've said this previously, enables us to reach beyond. And it is so important.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I'm so excited that we have this formula, and, you know, I'm just devoted to speaking on it because I know that it is the formula for these times. And so, therefore, you know, as many different ways I have to say this, turn it around, flip it, you know, do it backwards, eye, oblong, you know, whatever. People get this, that the brain and your capacity to navigate the grids with the brain is the key.
Mm.
And both have to be activated, and you cannot activate the grids and sustain them without activating the diamonds that sustain the grids. And it doesn't matter about your grids and your diamonds if you don't know, because as you know, for me, Julie, I've had all kinds of experiences, and I've always seen the diamonds. I told you that. Okay, that I was, you know, in my teens, and I would see these things, you know, in space, and I'd be like, wow, like, that's really interesting. And I would see them pulsate and twinkle and whatever else, and then, you know, after a while, they just go away. They kept coming up at different times, and I was like, well, obviously, this is something associated with me. This is something going on with me, and I don't know why they're always out in front of me. So that's why I told you that, you know, when I read Susan's work, et cetera, I was like, so that's what they are. So I knew right away what it was after it had been described.
Yeah.
My thing is that I did not have neurons available. They were not basically communicating because we didn't have information for those neurons to really now be able to make the connection.
Yeah.
And obviously, if I had not have had a balanced brain, those neurons would have never made the connection. That's one thing I like about the balancing program, is that it keeps the neurons nimble, and it keeps them free enough where when more data is added to a person's awareness, the neurons can immediately connect and fire, so that all of this data now actually makes this huge and beautiful mural that you can stand there in your own head and see the whole thing play out. So, you know, I was reviewing the movie Limitless, and this is what he described, that this drill bit, this NZT6 or whatever, that's one of the things that it did, is that it took all of the information that was collected from all of these years, and it just made this whole mural that he was able to give a report on, literally. Everybody's aghast and just astounded. But he is more astounded because it's like, you know, shoot, this is like 15 years of information I collected that I didn't think was significant at all. Mm. And now all of a sudden it paints this beautiful picture, and it's the key that opens up the doorway to this whole new world. And that's what I'm telling you is one of the greatest things about this program, is that no information that you collect once you have a balanced brain is ever insignificant. The neurons will hold on to the information, and when there's enough data collected, they will fire, and the entire picture will become very evident. So that is why I'm saying that, you know, with just that little bit of information, bam, all of this stuff came very clear as to what it was, what was happening. Now we know what to do with it, the whole bit, which is why I had such great appreciation for the work that you had done, because now knowing them, having seen them, knowing that they pulsate, also having the grid, I was like, okay, these are the two things that go together. We got to run.
Yeah.
So thank you, Julie. I hope everyone's
You're
great.
You're welcome.
Great things that
have
happened.
Have a great week, everybody.
Look forward to hearing you again, Julie, in September. Bye-bye, everybody.
Yes, lots of love. Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm having
Bye.
A great week.
So, thank you for listening to the Jewel Network. For our complete broadcast Bye-bye. Schedule, additional information, and to purchase products, please visit our website at www.thejewelnetwork.net. If you'd like to reach us, please send an email to info@thejewelnetwork.net.